And it is today's Topical Currents. Joseph Cooper with you this afternoon. Bonnie Berman's just a little under the weather. So it's time for Linda Gassenheimer. She's our favorite chef, author, and syndicated columnist. Now, for the rest of the hour, she'll lead us in tips for an outstanding Super Bowl bash. We do this every year. Linda, if you favor Carolina, I suppose pulled pork sandwiches would be apropos. Now, Colorado at your party, I'm not sure, but I did find a recipe online for elk ossobuco.
I saw on television this morning that they think they invented the cheeseburger in Denver.
Of course, there are also things called Rocky Mountain oysters.
That's another story. Okay, what's the best part of the evening besides the game? Of course, it's the food. And Super Bowl ranks second in food consumption to Thanksgiving. So we've got your food game plan today. Uvagia Wine Bar chef Tanner Gill has some ideas for us. So welcome, Chef Tanner.
Hello.
Great to have you with us. And to help us with the wine to go with Chef Tanner's food is Uvagia Sommelier, better known, and I don't know why, he calls himself the head wino.
Because I'm in charge of all the other winos.
Okay, fine. That's Heath Porter. Welcome, Heath.
Thanks for having me. I'm your local pusher.
Okay, whatever that means. Now, we're also going to be talking, he'll be talking with Fred Tasker about drinks for the day. I don't know if I'm going to let him talk to Fred. We'll see.
That could be dangerous.
Exactly.
That's the game plan.
Okay, so we'd love to hear from you, our listeners. What are your favorite Super Bowl foods? Or maybe have some questions for our guests. Give us a call. That's 800-743-9576, 800-743-WLRN. I guess without Bonnie, we have no email?
No, forgot to do it. My fault.
Okay, so give us a call, 800-743-WLRN. We'd love to hear from you. And as I mentioned, we're also talking with our favorite wine guy, Fred Tasker. You can read Fred's wine suggestions for my Dinner in Minutes column in the Miami Herald, and you can also read his wine column in Saturday's Miami Herald. Fred, is it wine or beer, or what do we got, both? What are we going to do today?
Oh, we're going to talk about wine matches for Super Bowl snacks, and then I want to chat with our guests about their South Beach Wine Festival event. Sounds like a very good event.
There's going to be some sort of a slam going on, I think.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, so what do you think is the most popular food for Super Bowl?
Nachos. Chili.
Keep going.
Hamburgers. Chicken wings.
Uh-huh.
There we go.
1 billion chicken wings will be eaten during Super Bowl. That's about 100 pounds of chicken wings. Also, 10 million pounds of ribs are sold the week of Super Bowl. Now, I have to say, though, that those statistics come from the chicken board and the pork board. But otherwise, I think they're probably pretty accurate, considering. Chef Tanner, everyone's going to be watching the game. No one wants to be in the kitchen, except in my house. Everybody comes into the kitchen and watch there. So give us an idea. What can we make ahead of time?
Well, I think a great thing that you can make ahead of time is queso. I'm from Texas, and that's something that we eat a lot of there. And it's something you can kind of put together in a crock pot or something and have with a big bowl of chips.
Wait, what is queso?
Queso is like a melted cheese dip.
Uh-huh.
In Texas, you know, a lot of places they use like Velveeta cheese, but you can use some evaporated milk and Chihuahua cheese from Mexico, and you can throw
Chihuahua
some
Chihuahua cheese?
Uh-huh.
Okay, I'm from New England. You're going to have to explain Chihuahua cheese.
Chihuahua cheese is kind of like, I think, like Monterey Jack cheese. You know,
okay.
It's sort of these native cheeses down there, but they melt really well. They're nice and white and creamy, and you can put some jalapenos in there if you like, or just some diced tomatoes.
Now why powdered milk, did you say?
Evaporated milk.
Oh, evaporated milk. Okay, mm-hmm. Right. Okay. Oh, that would make it nice and creamy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And sweet.
Yes, very much so. Yeah, I like to put like Mexican chorizo in there, or maybe you could do like some crumbled, like some ground beef cooked up with some taco seasoning or something like that. But that's always one of my favorite things.
So you put it in a crock pot and just leave it for how just to melt it, or do you have to cook it?
No, you have to cook it. I mean, you have to cook it all, and then you could put it in something to keep it warm, like a crock pot. You like boil the milk with a little bit of water, and then throw your cheese in there and your cooked meat and your cooked veggies and stuff, and Eat it with dip or eat it with chips.
Why wouldn't you just start with whole milk or half and half or something?
It just doesn't work quite as well as when you do with evaporated milk. And also a little drop of oil kind of keeps everything sort of flowing. Otherwise, it'll sort of solidify if you don't do it without evaporated
milk. You don't want that.
No. That sounds really good, though, doesn't it? Okay. And also, you've brought something here in the studio. It's brisket, so tell us about that.
Sure. I brought a serving of the brisket that we have on our menu at Uvaggio. And this is sort of an Asian kind of inspired brisket dish. And, you know, for the barbecue fans who are from Carolina, or maybe you're going for Carolina this weekend, you could do something similar, but maybe, you know, a little more black pepper, a little garlic salt, or something like that, and then make a little nice Carolina barbecue sauce to go with it instead.
Oh, yeah, this is really good.
He doesn't often say that, but you know what? It's beef, and so he loves beef.
Well, thank you very much.
So
I let Joel get something that's not made out of turkey.
Fred?
We're in cahoots on that turkey stuff.
Yep.
It's all foul.
Because he thinks I always give him turkey sausage, which is true. Anyway, what is a Carolina barbecue sauce?
So here in Carolina, the barbecue sauce they tend to make is sort of a mixture of vinegar and like kind of hot pepper sauce. It's a little runnier. It's not quite so thick.
Like a sugary, tomatoey based sauce.
You don't typically do tomato in there at all. So it's basically just like a apple cider vinegar and brown sugar and some hot sauce, some red pepper flake maybe, and you just kind of bring it up to a boil and let it cool off. And then you get this nice, runny, tangy, really tangy barbecue sauce.
Wow, I think he's making everybody really, really hungry. So let me ask you, what kind of beef do you have for your brisket? Because this one just falls apart. It's wonderful.
I just do like a typical brisket, and you kind of, if you go down towards the leaner end, you'll end up with a little bit.
Well, what if I go to the market? What do I ask for?
A brisket, just a whole. You can ask for a whole brisket. They can buy. I mean, typically you want to get it cut down into smaller pieces because.
Yeah, it's pretty big.
Yeah, a whole brisket is about 3 feet long, and so you're going to want to get cut into a smaller piece.
This isn't television, so he's cooking with his hands as he's talking.
Sorry.
And the 3 feet, he's holding his hands up.
you can ask for a piece of brisket from your butcher at your grocery store.
You want the leaner end.
The leaner end, yeah, absolutely.
And I noticed that you cut it into smaller pieces, like 3 or 4 pieces.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And then, I usually
start with like some kind of a rub, you know, some salt and some sugar and some spices. You know, you can sort of vary what you want to put in there based on your taste.
Maybe some cumin.
Exactly, yeah. You know, garlic powder.
I'm impressed, Joe.
And then rub it down and let it soak for let it sit for about 8 hours, and it'll kind of concentrate some of that flavor. And then you kind of wash it off, wash off the rub, and then I usually put it in a bigger pot and sear it the outside of it. And then after you get it seared, you can kind of throw it in sort of a roasting pan, put some beef stock in there, cover it with some foil, maybe a couple carrots and onions and things, and let it braise for a couple of hours until it's nice and tender.
What temperature in the oven?
I would say about 300 degrees. Yeah, depending on how big your cut of meat is. If it's a lot bigger and
that's
thicker.
Higher than what you normally read about for brisket. But
yeah.
Well, but you have to get it going first on top of the stove,
that's
and
right.
Then you put it in the oven.
Right.
But you have some. You put some other flavorings in, because we're tasting it here, and it's not just the stock and carrots and onions. So what else is in there?
Well, the one that we make at the restaurant, we actually we cook sort of in a confit style in rendered beef fat, which is a little harder. It's a little harder.
Now you're talking.
That's a little harder to come by. It took me a couple of months to get enough beef fat sort of saved up to do it that way. But that gives it a little bit more of a tenderness.
And also there's
the dashi.
Yeah, the dashi. Thank you, Keith. But what else is in there?
On the dish,
else you put in it? Yes.
On the dish we serve, we make a dashi, which is sort of a traditional Japanese style broth that's made with kombu, which is dried seaweed, and also katsuobushi, which is a dried bonito fish flake. And so you kind of make a stock with that. Then we also...
It's kind of strange bedfellows for brisket.
It is, sort of, yeah. We also throw some bacon into the dashi while it's cooking.
You're just making Joe's day. He's so happy.
So you get kind of a smoky flavor to add in, kind of bolsters that beefiness.
Okay. So, well, if you'd like that whole recipe, The recipe without the rendered fat, but with the beef stock. It's at dinnerinminutes.com, plus a photograph of the dish. So it's really very, very good. Well, we're sitting here with Heath Porter, who brought in a cooler full of wine. So what are we drinking to go with this brisket?
I brought the juice buggy. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, the juice buggy. Okay. Yeah. I've got some juice in my glass here.
You do have some juice. You got some adult Kool-Aid there.
Fred just fell over in Michigan.
Yes, okay. I did. I'll be in about 20 minutes.
Come on, Fred. I got the sparkling juice waiting for you. Come on down.
I'm ready.
So we're going to go to Spain with this. This is a wine I call the Malbec Slayer. We don't carry any Malbec or any sorts of wines like that around Uvasio. But I've got a Abadía de Gomariz, which comes from...
Say it slowly.
Abadía de Gomariz. Comes from the Ribera, not to be confused with the Ribera del Duero in Spain. And it's a couple indigenous grapes that you don't see a lot, Susan, Farol, and Menthia. And it's just really cool. It's got a nice, lush, ripe mouthfeel to it. It doesn't have too much structure to overwhelm the savory and the umami of the dashi. But then it's just got enough body fill and enough minerality to really pick up on all of those complex layers of flavor. You know, you don't want to put something too crazy next to the dish and screw up everything.
So this is a wine that would go well with the brisket and other foods at Super Bowl? Or?
Absolutely. I mean, you were talking about your nice juicy ribs with the sauce dropping down to the end of the elbow and all those things, and this can handle those things. It handles spice really well. It's not too high in alcohol, so when you get all that spice together with it, it doesn't really blow up the complete pairing to it. So yeah, anything pretty full-bodied and red meat, that type of thing, definitely works well with it.
So
sounds like it doesn't have a huge amount of tannin either.
No, and that's what I'm looking for. I think, Fred, you don't want too much structure to it, because those tannins, they like fat, but they like more of a fattiness in, on a ribeye as opposed to something that's low and slow that gets to be a little bit firmer like the brisket.
Yeah,
so
that's right.
So it's Abadía?
It's just actually going to be a river that runs right through the community, and then the Gomariz, and Gomariz is the small village that's right there next to the river as well.
Now, is that available in retail here?
Absolutely, at Uvasio, 70 Miracle Mile.
Oh, you can buy wines and to take out at Uvasio?
Chef Tanner's laughing at me because I just plugged. He liked that.
Shameless. I didn't realize that. So you can take alcohol off premise there.
You can. I do it all the time. Oh, you meant guests as well.
To buy.
Yes. Okay, absolutely, yes.
Okay. Well, that sounds terrific. And tell me, what else would you be drinking with, let's say, his queso? What do you call it? Queso. Mm-hmm. What would you have with that?
You know, it's funny. I was thinking about that because you sort of blew me out of the water and popped that one on me. I was thinking a full-bodied white wine from Alsace, something that's got high acid to it, still has a lot of creaminess and fullness to go with the cheese, but enough zesty acidity to rip right through all that richness. So I think maybe a nice Pinot Gris by Boxler or something like that from Alsace, France.
Okay. Now... So let's get back to the game for a minute. And this is something, a question that I always have. Maybe you can help us. You know, you're serving all these snacks and everybody's eating and they're walking around watching the game and eating and all. And then if I'm going to serve my chili, when do I serve it? During halftime, everybody wants to watch Madonna. So give us some timing on this game plan thing.
Well... Basically, Madonna's better than Coldplay from where I'm sitting anyway. it just depends. I mean, obviously, I think people are going to sort of nosh and go through the whole time. But obviously, I think you want to do something that's a little more heartier, spicier, and richer at the end of the meal. Same thing we always talk about with the food and wine pairings. So, you know, I'd sort of try to save the chili between the third and the fourth quarter. Personally, I don't know about you, Tanner.
Yeah, I think a bowl of chili would be perfect right after halftime. Sit down and then and really settle in and get your spot on the couch so you don't have to get up so you can watch the rest of the game.
You got to get your spot. That's important. Right, yeah. I wouldn't mess with you getting a spot, I'll tell you. He's like, what is he, 6 feet?
Well, I think Joe and I are capable of chewing and watching the game at the same time.
Oh, you think? Okay.
Right,
oh, yeah. But you don't want to be too bottomed out in the third quarter, though.
Well, yeah, you don't want to overdo it in the first quarter because that makes it kind of okay. Rough later.
You got to pace yourself.
He's looking at me because he doesn't think I understand what he's talking about.
I'm a little scared about bottomed out myself.
All right. Well, we're going to go to a break here. I'm Linda Gassenheimer. My guests today are Chef Tanner Gill and sommelier Heath Porter from Uvasio Wine Bar. We'll take a short break and we'll be back with more. We'll be right back. And we're back. I'm Linda Gassenheimer. And our guests today are from Uvaggio Wine Bar in Coral Gables, Chef Tanner Gill, and their head wino, insists on being called head wino instead of sommelier, is Heath Porter. And they've been giving us tips on our Super Bowl bash for this Sunday. Well, it's dinner in minutes time, and here's a quick and easy dish for any day, but it's really great for Super Bowl. You could even make it now and put it in your refrigerator or freeze it. It's a spicy mushroom and chicken chili, and the mushrooms give it a lot of texture and flavor, and I use the chicken thighs because they're a lot juicier. I cut them into small pieces, and I saute them in a skillet for just a few minutes. Then I add some canned diced tomatoes, some chopped jalapeno peppers, some red kidney beans from a can, some frozen corn kernels, some chili powder, cumin, garlic, and mushrooms. It's so simple. You just put it all in there, and it cooks for about 15 minutes. You can serve that with a little chopped cilantro, maybe some sour
cream. Are you supposed to put
cream.
Mushrooms in chili?
Well, listen, I put chicken in.
New day and age, nobody knows.
Fusion food. Turkey, too.
It gives you a lot of flavor, a lot of texture, without quite so many calories, so you can have the other stuff you're going to be eating.
She's got to meet her guidelines.
Right. But you could use meat, real meat, right?
We're talking about this recipe here, and you can get the complete... I'm in a studio with all these men. There's a lot of men here, including Fred on the telephone. Anyway, great. Complete recipe and a photo, dinnerinminutes.com. And please follow me on Twitter. That's at L. Gassenheimer. And by the way, you can make this chili, and you don't have to tell anybody what's in it because it tastes so good. Fred Tasker, what are we drinking today?
Well, first, I understand that our guests are going to be at the South Beach Wine and Food Festival doing something they call a sommelier slam, and I wonder if we could get them to give us a brief description of what that is.
Absolutely, but first of all, we are nowhere near cool enough or sophisticated enough to be sommelier slam, so we'll just go with Somm Slam, and it's a lot easier for us to spell, too. And it's a cool little thing that we came up with that we do around the wine bar where Chef Tanner and another visiting chef will cook three courses. I'll invite some other unknowing sommelier to come in and throw him into the fire, and we'll both pair a wine with each course.
Well, it's actually not going to be at the restaurant. Is it? It's going to be at where?
So we do it at the restaurant most of the time, and then they've caught on to it at the South Beach Food and Wine Festival, and they've actually invited us to do a pop-up at the Ritz-Carlton. So... they're doing Somm Slam at the Sobey Food and Wine Festival, and they're bringing in a big shot wine guy from New York, Anthony Giglio, to challenge us in our own backyard. So we're sort of excited about the throwdown.
So
I understand that the audience at this event gets to drink and eat the food and wine that you're talking about.
Actually, they're the judges, Fred. They actually vote on the winner of each course for the pairings, and best two out of three, no holds barred, and there's a lot of smack talk going in.
Smack
How many
talk?
Guests do you expect at the event?
We're thinking it sold out at 75, so I'm betting standing room only around 100.
That's going to be a lot of wine.
And you don't even know what they're going to get to drink.
Yeah, I imagine so. Well, that sounds like a great event.
So, Chef Tanner, are you going to be bringing the food there? Are you going to be cooking it at the hotel? How does that work?
Well, actually, a lot of preparation has kind of already gone into this. We've been preparing for it for a while. Some of the stuff is being made currently as we speak. There's going to be a couple of things that I'll finish off kind of last minute right there. It's a little challenging because, you know, the restaurant, we usually do about 30 to 35 people for one of these events, and this is going to be closer to 100, so it's going to be a little bit of a challenge. We're going to do a couple of things there, but most of the stuff is going to be almost started. Well, a lot of the stuff's already been being worked on, so.
Well, so that's going to be on February 27th at 2 p.m., at the Ritz-Carlton, and
actually, high noon. They told me noon.
Sorry, you're right.
My bad.
Yes, okay. No. What did I say, 2 p.m.?
Yes, ma'am.
It's 12. You're right. Thank you.
You don't have to yell at me. I'm sorry. I didn't mean it. I'm so sorry.
And it's $85 per person to go, and you can purchase them at sobefest.com, S-O-B-E-F-E-S-T.com, and you can join in. But you have these Somm Slams, at the restaurant? How do you do that?
We do them at the wine bar pretty much every quarter. So every 3 or 4 months, and you know, they usually sell out within 2 or 3 hours of the tickets going on sale. And we really, I call it WWF meets food and wine. So don't be, there's usually a lot of wine getting thrown around and a lot of trash talking.
He sure isn't pretentious at all, is he?
No.
I'm stuffy as I can be, damn you.
Did you? This is public radio.
Oh, I'm sorry. Excuse me.
I've been working on some wine food matches for the Super Bowl myself. Every year I have to make the argument that wine is a better match for Super Bowl snacks than the wimpy light beer that they talk about on all the TV ads that day. So I was looking into what kind of wine goes with some various things, and one of the most popular things, according to Google, at the Super Bowl are pigs in blankets, which are basically biscuit dough wrapped around cocktail weenies. And I was kind of stumped there a little bit, so I Googled a match for it, and I found wine bloggers, of all things, recommending a dry rosé sparkling wine. And after pondering that for a while,
I think that you were going to come up with something sparkling, Fred? You got it in there. I'm glad.
The nectar of the gods.
Okay.
You serve it nice and cold. But here's the problem that I have, and I want to ask our guests about this. Buffalo chicken wings. Now, I was at the Anchor Bar in Buffalo, New York, one time where they were invented, and their recipe calls for Frank's Red Hot Chili Sauce, vinegar, Worcestershire sauce, garlic, and cayenne pepper. So it's not just spicy, it's also acidic. And I really can't come up with a wine match. You know, the rule of thumb is that super spicy foods call for wines that are slightly sweet, but I really can't picture chicken wings with an off-dry Riesling. And I don't want to give up and recommend beer. So, Tanner and Heath, do you have a solution for this?
Tanner, should I jump on this one, or you want to swing at it?
You can take this one, Heath.
All right. Actually, I did something similar a few months ago for a different article. And going with your residual sugar statement, it would be easy to go to a off-dry Riesling, especially something from upstate New York since you're in Buffalo. But we actually went with a Vouvray from the Loire Valley. A little bit lighter acidity, a little more firm body weight to it, all kinds of apple peachy goodness, and I found that it just really smoked the vinegar and the spice on the chicken wings. Really cool.
That stuff. Had just a little bit of sweetness to it, right?
Just enough to recognize, not enough to send you to the dentist.
Oh, great. That sounds like a good match.
Cool. Let's do it. Bring the wings.
So
well,
what
then the other thing I found in when Googling Super Bowl is that for dessert, during the fourth quarter, you're supposed to have a chocolate tiramisu cake. And it has to be in the shape of a football, including laces made of white frosting.
Where did you find a tiramisu that you had to have a tiramisu cake?
Well, I just Googled the most popular Super Bowl.
Lots of ads for Google today.
That's what popped up. So I was going to say that with this, you should probably serve coffee so you can drive home safely.
It's probably a good idea. Well, what about your pizza? What are we going to have with drinking with pizza if you're not going to have your beer?
Well, you know, I found that pizza is, that Super Bowl Sunday is the fourth biggest day of the year for pizza after only Halloween, Thanksgiving Eve, and New Year's Day. So I think that for a meat top pizza, I would use a nice soft red Chianti because that would be Italian wine with Italian pizza. And for veggie pizza with a lot of cheese, maybe a fat California Chardonnay would work.
Oh, boy.
What do you think, Heath? Yes?
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that out loud. Excuse me. I don't like that at all, though. Sorry.
Oh, yeah, Fred, he doesn't like it.
You were talking about matching your cheese dip with a high-acid wine to cut through it.
Yeah, I'm very much an acid head. I see your Chianti, and I like that. I think I'd probably go Sicilian on it and get into a nice, cool little Nero d'Avola Frappato blend or something like that. I totally see that. But I was thinking bubbles all the way, getting into some sparkling wine. Same representation as the beer that bubbles and the Frizzante just rips right through that greasy oiliness and really freshens the palate up. I think you just get straight into some Cremant de Jura or a little bit of champagne and go for it.
Okay. Well, let me ask you, is it true that at the Vagia Wine Bar that you choose all the wines and then Chef Tanner has to create food to go with the wine? It's the other way around?
That's backwards from what we
normally do?
That's the basis of the concept. Is I'll pick up a bunch of different wines that we're going to feature by the glass or by the season or whatnot, and then Chef gets the ideal pleasure of sitting down and tasting through them, and we just sort of start bouncing ideas around, and that's sort of what drives the backbone of the concept. It's not always...
No, that's how you can tell it's a real wine lover, when you choose the wine and then have the food to go with the wine.
Absolutely.
The other way around.
Absolutely.
Okay, and I just... We're almost out of time, but of course I had to find out what we're going to have for dessert if we're not having the tiramisu football cake.
Well, if you're coming to Vaggio, I would suggest doing a cinnamon bun bread pudding. That's what we like to serve around there. Make some cinnamon buns.
Okay. Well, you can make it at home. Just take some cinnamon buns, some custard, and cook it up, right? Well, I'd love to find out more about that recipe, but we're out of time. It's been a really tasty week. Chef Tanner Gill, thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome.
And for the wonderful brisket that's been eaten up in front of me by Joe Cooper. Heath Porter, thank you for the great wine tips and the wine.
Cheers, thanks.
Good luck on your Psalm Slam. Uvaggio is located at 70 Miracle Mile in Coral Gables. Joe Cooper, great to be with you. Fred Tasker, great advice as always. Next week, we're going to be talking about hot and spicy Valentine's food with celebrity chef Rick Bayless. I'm Linda Gassenheimer. Join me then.